great deals for your people. And we ask, Lord, that as we explore this topic, which is so very interesting and leads to so many interesting conclusions, Lord, that we might remember that darkness is real. There is evil in this world. But that we might also remember that you have conquered it. In Jesus' name, amen. Talking tonight about Halloween, and we have a bit of a smaller group, and that's good. I like to have small group discussions. I only wish we could draw our chairs into a circle and, you know, have a nice little chat. But there's a couple of chairs, but I'm not pulling them down. Being in the situation that we're in, it's just my curse that I need to stand. We're talking about Halloween tonight. Halloween. And I know that that term has many different connotations for each one of us. And we're going to discuss just a little bit of the history and what Halloween actually is. So when we talk about the history of the holiday, we need to start with Samhain, or as it's really actually correctly pronounced, Samhain. But I'll pronounce it Samhain. It is spelled Samhain, and that's a Celtic word. It was a festival celebrated by the ancient Celts, who were a group in the British Isles, and it served as their new year, Samhain did. The Celtic calendar was marked by two different fire festivals. One was in the spring that we actually now call Easter, and one was in the fall called Samhain. Okay? Easter, obviously, was incorporated, or the church had the resurrection day. Easter kind of moved, kind of funny how it moved in together. It ended up being called Easter, but has none of the pagan roots in that holiday anymore, except for the little bunny, you know, with the fluffy tail. That kind of still lingers a little bit. But the second, called Samhain, is what we're talking about. Samhain celebrated the ending of harvest, the beginning of winter, and death is what it celebrated. And the idea of a fire festival, I mentioned that it was two fire festivals, Easter and Samhain. The idea of the fire festival is that a large bonfire was lit for the gathering and for the celebration, at the end of which an ember would be taken to each house. So each family would take an ember home from the community fire to relight their family hearth. And that ember was carried in a gourd or a turnip, and that'll obviously come back later to figure into how some of the things got started that we see now. The veil between this world, this is a belief that the veil between this world and the next, between the living world and the dead world, was the thinnest at this time of year for Samhain. And the dead spirits, spirits of those who had died, could cross from one world into the next at this time. And they would often appear as an animal or some frightening figure. A common belief is that they would appear as a black cat. So there you go with black cats, where that came from. So a belief connected to this is that a spirit could not enter the final rest. So they kind of had this limbo stage, is what we're talking about, that spirits could cross from the limbo stage into the land of the real. And they could not enter the final rest, the finality, until they were properly prepared to pay off whatever god or a ruler or whatever held the dominion of that place. So what happened was, on Samhain, these restless souls would cross over into our world and go from house to house looking for what they needed. And so a house could placate the spirit by treating them with food or money or whatever. And if a spirit was not properly treated, it would trick, that is, haunt the offenders. Quite an interesting beginning to something that's very innocent in trick-or-treat. Two traditions developed by those who feared the spirits. Number one, so if I'm afraid of a spirit, what am I supposed to do? Well, one thing I could do is dress up like a spirit myself in order to confuse them. And that's what they would do. Number two, we could scare the spirits away by carving a face, either a ghastly or a scary face, into the ember holder that carried the flame from the bonfire to the house. Typically, it would be a gourd or a turnip, like I said before. More often than not, in the Scottish Isles, especially in the Scotland area, it would be a turnip. Now we use a pumpkin, and we call it a jack-o'-lantern. There's another interesting story that's connected to the jack-o'-lantern, where this spirit crossed over, and he was kind of condemned to wander endlessly by Satan. Basically, they wouldn't call him Satan, but the ruler of the underworld. And he needed something to light his way, and so the ruler of the underworld, Satan, gave him an ember from hell, which he placed in his lantern, the jack-o'-lantern. That's where the name comes from. Understand that a lot of these traditions and a lot of these stories, a lot of these legends are very, very vague, not written down, just passed along from generation to generation. And so what we have now is as best as we can reconstruct what they did then. But we simply, there's so many details that we just don't know. And we need to remember that as we are talking about this. So that's Samhain, this fire festival at which the spirits would come and they would haunt. And you would dress up like a spirit to trick them and to confuse the spirits. And I suppose that's what ended up being people, oh, I'm dressed up like a spirit. Now I can go from house to house and try to get some treats. Interesting. Number two, what comes in then was when Christianity encountered Samhain, they introduced into the holiday All Saints' Day. All Saints' Day was begun in May, actually, in the year 609, and had no official date annually for more than 200 years. And what happened was, by that time, the Catholic Church had, what's the word, so many saints, they canonized or beatified so many saints, that they had too many saints for the days of the year. And so they kind of lumped everybody all together and said, this is All Saints' Day. And they celebrated that in May in 609. But after the church began serious movement into Northern Europe and Britain, the date was officially moved to November 1st to compete with the pagan Samhain. Before that day, Samhain never actually had an official date every year either. So the date was officially set on November 1st to compete. And actually, competition with pagan holidays was quite a normal thing for the church at that time. Because they would go into an area, they would see, this is what the people are entrenched in. They need something that they can do in order that they don't have to be doing this thing that is evil. And so they would establish a holiday, typically a holiday that's already established by the church but has no official date. They would establish it to compete at the same time. They also did this to compete with a pagan holiday in Rome that happened every year around Christmas time. If you see what I'm saying. Christmas was set at December 25th in order to compete with a pagan holiday. Very interesting idea. The celebration of All Saints' Day began, just like Jewish holidays would, at sundown on October 31st. This was known as All Hallows, that is, Saints, All the Holies, Eve, or the contracted Halloween, thus the name that we get now. This had only been a partial success to compete because the Catholic Church saw more assimilation of pagan content into All Saints' Day than annihilation of it, as was their plan. So today, pretty much nobody celebrates All Saints' Day, but everybody knows Halloween. And they know the strange mixture of pagan rites devoid of meaning and secularized Christian ideas in terms we still call Halloween. We bob for apples. At least we did until, you know, finally someone figured out that everybody's sticking their head into this vat and trying to grab something with their mouth. It's kind of gross. But bobbing for apples was a form of divination, of foretelling the future in Samhain practice. But it's so innocent now. It's just bobbing for apples. Well, yes, but this is the root of it. This is where it came from. Reformation Day is very closely tied to All Saints' Day. Now, I was going to sing a few Reformation carols when I was in the dorm at Tekoa. A couple of friends of mine and I, we would go around knocking on doors on October 31st and singing, caroling, Reformation Day caroling, we called it, like Christmas caroling. And we would sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, especially, but also The Church Is One Foundation and How Firm a Foundation and all of the other great Reformation hymns. And that's because Reformation Day is October 31st, 1517. That's when Luther chose to nail his 95 theses to the door, to the church door at Wittenberg. And he did that for the very specific reason of saying, look, all of the saints are here. Just like we are, Paul said, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. He said, look, all of the saints are here, and they will call attention to that what I am saying is true. That was the statement he was making. So those who call themselves Protestants, and that would be us, we can trace our birth of the movement to this point, October 31st, 1517. So in another 13 years, I'm really going to be pushing for the 500th centennial. It's going to be really exciting. All Souls Day, then, came on November 2nd. This is another holiday connected. All Souls Day is not very well known, and it is also known as the Day of the Dead, and that is not connected, actually, to the Mexican holiday, the Day of the Dead. But it is standing in contrast to All Saints Day. All Saints Day is a commemoration of all the saints. Well, All Souls Day is a commemoration of all those who have gone before who are in Christ. So they're not saints, but they're not pagans either. They are the souls, they are the dead in Christ. So that would have just rituals of prayer for the dead and whatever penance would be given in the Catholic Church for the dead. Okay, so that's the history. We have four holidays then. Samhain, All Saints Day, Reformation Day, and All Souls Day, all taking place in the span of what is basically a weekend. So what about today? What is the contemporary situation? Well, Halloween is a secular holiday in our nation. And what I mean by that is, when I say Halloween, really nobody thinks, oh, that's a religious holiday. When you say Christmas, usually people will say that's a religious holiday. Easter, same thing. Halloween, well, no, that's just dress-up day when we eat candy. So in large part in America, Halloween is a secular holiday. It really only became celebrated in America starting in the late 19th century, and that's when there was a lot more of the immigration coming in from Europe. And with it was brought the practices, okay? Now it's almost entirely secular because what happened is in America we would see, okay, these people are celebrating this, but that looks like fun what they're doing there, and we'll take that out of its context and use it here. So we would borrow the fun and mischievous customs and take out the context of religion. So we would borrow out of paganism these customs and these rites and kind of inject them into Christianity. Very dangerous idea, but that's what happened. Most people only regard Halloween as a costume party holiday, time to dress up or pull some pranks in the dark. That's what we see it as. Halloween, when I have my own house, I'm going to look forward to sitting outside in the dark with a hose waiting for the kids to come along. Yeah, they're going to try to get me, I'm going to get them. But we have to realize what it really is. It really is a religious holiday. Although most people regard it as a secular holiday, it really is a religious holiday. It's still celebrated by Wiccans, which the adherents of the Wiccan religion would call themselves witches, and other pagan religions. It's still celebrated by them, mostly as the ancients did, as bonfire and bobbing for apples, divination, and the celebration of the spirits of the dead. Halloween, though, here's something very important. Halloween is actually not the most important celebration for contemporary Satanists. And here's where you kind of get some confusingness into the mix. Because Satanism, as it's incorporated today, is not what we would think of as Satanism. When we say Satanism in the church, mostly what we would think of is someone who worships Satan. But the Church of Satan that is established in America, and there is one, and it's got many people who follow it, the Church of Satan is actually what you might call organized self-worship. It's not a religion that worships the being we call the devil. Satanism is self-worship, self-indulgence, self-gratification. And so the most important celebration for any Satanist, as you might call them technically, is not Halloween, but one's own birthday. It is the most unholy day, they call it. It's kind of a strange thing, but it's something to remember, that Satanists are not necessarily even religious. They are just simply selfish. It's very, very scary. There are, however, many self-styled satanic cults that regard Halloween as a hugely holy day or unholy day. And some even commit crimes on Halloween, such as animal sacrifices, church vandalisms, and things of the ilk. Two things here. Christians are more in danger, statistically, from drunk drivers than they are from these groups on Halloween. There's just so many people that get drunk and drive on Halloween, on New Year's, and so many of the other holidays like that. And statistically speaking, Christians are more in danger from drunk drivers than they are from these groups. Number two, these groups are scattered, small. They do not have huge networks of organization throughout the nation or whatever. Typically, there'll be small groups, less than 30, who will be who have a pattern of religious activities or illegal activities throughout the year. And typically, the ones that are illegal, the ones that do church vandalism or animal sacrifices and things of this nature, typically they will be dispersed by the police rather quickly, although there are some who are very, very entrenched, I'm sure. Which brings me to, under the contemporary situation, the dangers of darkness. Playing with fire can burn. That's the simple fact of the matter. And there's more and more in our society, when it comes to Halloween, there's more and more religious imagery being added to Halloween. And most of that is evil. It's not All Hallows Day. It's becoming something much more scary. Now, when I was a kid, maybe it was just being shielded growing up, I don't know. But there really wasn't a whole lot of religious stuff that went on at Halloween. It was simply, you know, if I wanted to dress up, I went to the costume shop and I found He-Man or the Transformers or something, right? But now I go into the costume shop and there's more witches and goblins and ghouls and masks of that type than anything else. And that's really reverting back to the original ideas of Samhain. And then, of course, Hollywood doesn't help too much because some movies are very strong in the occult. And those movies, being so scary, have been added to, shall we say, the Halloween mystique. And so more and more that religious imagery that's in those movies is being added to Halloween parties and stuff. And so you see pentagrams and other satanic symbols coming out and becoming more prominent at this time of the year. And then, of course, one can be quickly consumed by curiosity in the darkness. And it's so interesting. It's so enticing. There's something about it that appeals to the darker side of our nature and says, ooh, let's go over here and find out what this is all about. But there can be no darkness where the light shines. The two have nothing in common. And if we are to seek out the light, we should not become enraptured with the darkness. At which point, I've asked Cindy, we've spoken on a number of occasions, or actually on one occasion specifically about Halloween, but Cindy and I have a lot of conversations about various things, some of them last 2 hours. And she's spoken to me about some of her things that she has realized or learned from Halloween. And I asked her to come and present that to us at this point. And then I have a few more things to discuss when she's done.